All right, grab your Bibles. We're over there in Matthew's Gospel and the Sermon on the Mount, one of the greatest sermons ever given. And so the Sermon on the Mount is a sermon about the Father, a sermon about His kingdom, and it's a sermon that God wants to bless us, but we got to live up according to His standard. And so in these Beatitudes, as we've seen, we've covered two already. Blessed are the broke and blessed are the broken, all right? Blessed are those who are broke, not financially, blessed are those who are broke spiritually, all right? When we realize we got an honest heart, we know where we stand before God, and we stand in need of our lives being changed because we got nothing to offer Him. But also, we have a heavy heart in that we're broken spiritually, and we realize we mourn over our sin. We realize we're undone. We need God to restore us, revive us, and make us new. And so these two are important, but we're going to read tonight. When you do realize you don't measure up to the standard, when you do realize that you got no help, you got no hope to fix yourself, remember, Jesus is going to teach even here in this Sermon on the Mount, hey, listen, your righteousness has got to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? You got to exceed their righteousness. And they were considered the cream of the crop, right? They were the most religious people. And, you know, if you get over to Matthew 6, you can see how it was all a show, but everyone considered them, wow, that's the standard we've got to live. Jesus says, nope, they don't even meet the standard themselves. You got to be better than them. You got to be this good, perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, I'm telling you, when you realize you're broke, I'm not perfect, I ain't got that much. And when you're broken, you're not perfect because you realize you're undone. What are you going to do? Well, you have to understand those two things to get to the third beatitude, which we cover tonight. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Now, what's fascinating, I read for you over from Psalm 37 when we came in, from Psalm 37, where this verse actually comes from. Now, it's not quoted, italicized typically in our Bibles, but it's still true over there in Psalm 37. When it was written, it's true in Jesus' day as well. And it's one that's difficult because it's really a paradox for us in many ways to figure out how is it possible that we are going to be rewarded in this way when it seems so opposite to the world in which we live. Meekness is not something that's celebrated, right? We often equate it, often people say it, meekness is weakness, right? We don't think about that. But when you have the right estimation of who you are before God, your right understanding of that, you begin to understand how this attitude is really a blessed attitude. So meekness, again, it's not weakness. It's actually power under control. That's the idea, that you've submitted, surrendered your life under the power and authority of one, and you know how to control yourself as a result of that. You can act, but you realize you don't have to act always because you know the one who is in ultimate power. And so, biblically speaking, when we think of biblical meekness, it's about finding our strength in the Lord, our strength under His control. And not that we don't have strength, but we're not exercising it to achieve our purposes and our aims. When we come face to face with God, we're helpless, we're hopeless, we're broke, we're broken. We realize that, but having that assessment, the lights shine on us. It's shown us, it's exposed us, and it's revealed something that we have to acknowledge. And so we have to have a lower understanding of ourselves. Amen? Now think about that. I mean, if you are proud, you're not going to be meek because you think you're somebody. Again, if I'm broke spiritually, I'm not going to be proud, right? I should be humbled. Because I realize who God is and I'm not Him, right? I got nothing before Him. So pride is something that's antithetical to meekness. In fact, that's what you see generally in the world. Proud, arrogance, those who are achieving, doing great things, sometimes have a higher estimation of themselves than they probably ought, right? Because except by the grace of God, they wouldn't be there. But they do. So this meekness is an attitude, it's an acknowledgement. Hey, listen, you know, if there's anything good in me, I didn't do it. He did. It's an acknowledgement. Listen, anything that I am, as Paul would say, by the grace of God. At living your life, considering, I mean, you see this in the saints of the Old Testament. Of course, Moses was the meekest man of all that the Bible tells us. But even David, stop and think about David. When he was the young shepherd king, right? Anointed king. And yet for 33 years, he never reigned on the throne. Running for his life. Dudes chucking spears at him, the current king, right? King Saul. Wanting to kill him. Remove him. Hey, sending him out to battle. Hey, David, why don't you go fight those Philistines for us? And David comes back. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. God delivering him, God providing for him, God protecting him. David never, ever, in a way, usurping, using, saying, no, I've been anointed by the prophet and Samuel, and I should be on the throne. Never, never raising his hand against the kings. Letting God, in his time, do his good work. It's hard to do that, amen? Now, see, that's why over in the Psalms, I read the whole section there, the backdrop to this context for this idea, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. In that picture, in that psalm, when you read that, that's not what we see. And that's why it says, don't fret because of evildoers. And that's what we do. I mean, can I be honest? I think whoever did that stuff on Epstein Island, I think they should be brought to justice. I'm like, why not? It's evil. It is pure wickedness. I see you see those who get away with it, whether it's a laptop or all the other stuff that's happened in our governing officials and governing authorities. I'm like, bring them to justice. I mean, it's easy to get wrapped up in it. And it'll stir you up. Meekness doesn't have to do that. God's got it, y'all. God's got it. He's not, hey, listen, I want righteousness to reign. I want justice in the land. But the psalmist says, listen, it's possible you can start to fret about that. You can start to wring your hands and get upset and get all fired up about it. I should be on my knees praying, God, take care of it. God, y'all, that's where our power is. That's what changes it. And we need to be more earnest in that. There's going to come a day where he's going to take care of all that. Don't forget the promises. He's going to take care of it in his time. By the way, you know why he's patient? What did we read? What did I pray earlier from the prophet Ezekiel? Does God desire that the wicked perish? No, he doesn't. His desire is that they turn, that they repent, that they get their heart. He wants them to be saved as much as he wants you and me to be saved. And that's what we should be praying for. God, open their eyes to turn. Now, along the way, we can pray for God to take care of them. I do that frequently. God, take them out of office. Sometimes that means he'll take them out in different ways because there's a sin unto death. But our prayer, our earnestness, listen, if you're meek, it's not that you're weak. You could easily get all tore up about it. David, well, the psalmist over there would say to us, listen, be careful about that. Jeremiah, I mean, all that he had to endure at the hands of wicked kings, those who wouldn't listen, would not listen to the word of God, would not have any space for hearing the word of the Lord. The word to him was like a fire. It was like a hammer. And he had to say some things that weren't exactly well accepted. There was other false prophets. They said the smooth things, right? They said the things that were easily accepted, but not Jeremiah. And so he had to endure hardship, but he faithfully delivered the message, and he was just a meek servant of the Lord. Meekness, listen, you speak the truth in love, and you know who's in true power. And you know he will bring justice at the right time. Outwardly, there's a sweet humility, there's a gentleness, but there is an inward strength. Now, the Lord acted rightly. Jesus was very meek. In fact, that was the invitation. Come unto you, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and you'll find rest with me, because I'm meek and mild, right? Come to me, take my yoke upon you. When he cared for others, would he bruise a broken reed? You know that picture, I don't know if you can think about that. If you remember when you were a kid and you went down to the riverbank and there were the reeds coming up. Now, I know today all the kids are on the screen, so they don't go down by the riverbank. But anyways, you can remember all those cattails and different reeds that would come up, and they're hollow. I mean, you just touch one, right, and it would bend, or if it was just barely, if it had been bent by a stick, right, just barely touch it, and it'd go over. And that's Jesus. That's the picture there. Jesus saying, listen, to you who are broken, listen, I will not hurt a bruised reed. That's how gentle he was. But could he act on his righteous anger? Oh, he did. He put a cord together, a whip, right? Went through the temple, cleaned that thing out real fast. All the money changers called the Pharisees and Sadducees, called them out for different things. He was, now let the Lord do that, amen? Meekness, gentleness is something that the Spirit produces in us. Beloved, you and I, my nature, your nature, probably is not inclined to do that. We need the Lord to do it in us. The Lord's not going to do it in me if I don't realize I'm broken. And if I'm broke. If I'm broke, I realize I need him to fix me. And if I'm broken, I got nothing to offer and I'm broken, I need him to fix me. Then the Spirit can produce this within us. And it's what the Spirit does do. Now, what we typically do, meek individuals, we don't assert ourselves. We don't have to be seen. We don't have to do anything, demand anything for ourselves. No, I know the one who's got me. And I can just serve him because he's so faithful. He's so good. You see, that's the example of our Savior. When he didn't hold on to equality with God, power, right? You realize he could have just spoken a word, right? And changed everything, but he didn't. He did this kind of secret mission. C.S. Lewis says in Mere Christianity in book one, I think chapter five, he says he came and he infiltrated, kind of like a secret mission. He came in, born in a trough in Bethlehem. And he came. He didn't hold on to his position of power, but he took the form of a servant, the form of a doulos, a bond servant. You got to be meek to be a servant. And he took on the flesh and went and did the Father's will. That's Christ. That's what he did for us. It's the example. It's the paradigm. But beloved, you and I can't create that. To create that meekness, that gentle spirit, we need the Lord to do it within us. Now, here's what's essential. Before we even get to, not next week's beatitude, but the four that follow after that, we won't be peacemakers. We won't show mercy to people. We won't even endure persecution unless we're meek. Because you see, meek people oftentimes, they don't want to seek peace because they think they're right and they assert themselves and their rights rather than seeking peace with others. They won't show mercy because typically they won't realize how desperately they need it themselves. They won't endure persecution even for the Lord's sake because they want to fight for their rights. And so this is really a turning point that will take place in how we live out and flesh out a right standing before him, before others, and you have to have a meekness. Now, here's the promise. They and they alone shall inherit the earth. Now, you say, well, when do we get that? Well, in a sense, you get it both now. There is a now and a then. You see, when I live meekly, so many people don't live meekly today, and they live with their power and their and they'll do whatever. That's what Psalm 37 is all about. They'll do whatever it takes to acquire the earth, the stuff of the earth, possessions. And they'll claw their way there. They'll have wicked schemes. They'll do these things. Or they'll demand, well, this is owed to me and it belongs to me. But see, the amazing thing is when you are meek, you realize no one owes you anything and you don't have to demand anything because if God wants to give you anything, he'll give you what you need. Because he's going to care for you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to apply and give me everything that I need. That's what Paul would say over in Philippians chapter 4, right? I knew how to be abased, Paul says. I know how to abound, whether I got a little, whether I got a lot. I know how to live life. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because God will supply for all things through who? Christ Jesus. And that should be the attitude, listen, that we possess. That, you know what, I can navigate life satisfied, content. Inheriting the earth now, even though I may not simply possess it, I know I got everything I need right now because I got the nearness of my God. That's all I need. Now, sometimes, let's be honest, it's hard to live our life that way because of flesh and because of a culture, a worldview that doesn't espouse this and doesn't raise this up and think highly of it. But this is a beatitude, an attitude we should possess. Now, in the future, praise God, those that acknowledge, you know what, we are broke and broken, we're going to be heirs, y'all, of a kingdom that's going to come. And that will happen. Our Savior promised that. Behold, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I've promised when I've done, I'm going to come and receive you unto myself. And he has now made us heirs and joint heirs of his kingdom. We're going to reign. We're going to rule with him. We're going to judge angels, whatever that means. We're going to sit on thrones. And we're going to inherit the earth. We shouldn't want to inherit what it is now because it's going to be far better. Because it's going to be a new earth and a new heaven, right? And yet we claw for the stuff now in this. See, a heavenly perspective and a meekness that the Lord produces in us helps us to realize, you know what? If I got really his perspective, I don't really want what the world has to offer me right now. Because there's far better coming. Amen? That's what we want. That's what we're looking forward to. And this is what the world says. Now, the world, of course, says, look, push yourself, make a name for yourself. And but you know what? Do you remember what God told Abram? Hey, Abram, I'll tell you what. I'm going to make your name great. And as I do that, I'm going to make my name great. You see, meekness is saying, God, anything you want from me, any accomplishment, Lord, that's in your hands. But the moment you receive it and achieve it, it's not about you. It's still about him. And it's keeping proper perspective. This is the kind of heart that we want to have. A honest heart. Man, I'm broke spiritually. A heavy heart. I'm broken and I can't make myself right because I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then just a humble heart. God, I am what I am by your grace. May your spirit produce in my heart this attitude which reflects my Savior, which demonstrates his presence within me. God, will you? God, I know, you know what? Any reputation I have, Lord, let it be all for your glory. I think of the psalmist who would say, you know what? I'm just a worm, right? There's not much of me. When you realize you're broken and broke, you just find your proper place before the Lord. And anything he does, it's all for his glory. This is the attitude that we want to have. And may God cultivate that within you and within me. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. Let's pray tonight. Father, Lord, as you've stepped on my toes and reminded me that my significance and my place properly is in a humble position before you, Lord. God, help us to flesh out this truth this week. Lord, when we acknowledge our brokenness before you and, Lord, we realize we're broke, God, help us to have that meek spirit, that gentle spirit. Lord, we can be in positions of power, but, Lord, the way we exercise those things, Lord, the authority you may give us, may we do it in such a way that it reflects you, who you are. God, you're so patient with us. Praise you for that tonight. God, continue to change our hearts and make us more like Jesus so that we might be that city on a hill that can't be hidden. We might be that light you intend us to be, reaching, shining into the darkness so others might come to discover they too can be made whole in Christ. We love you and we praise you and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.